Well, the situation in Southern California is really devastating, is it not? How many wildfires are just spreading because of high winds? And so many are having to flee from their homes and watching their homes burn down and so forth. So we do want to keep them in our prayers, and that this would be an opportunity for many to turn to God and learn His will and submit to the gospel of Christ, and good could come from it. Well, our study this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 6, going through verse 10. Before I read that, let me mention that the Apostle Paul, in chapters 10, really through 13, verse 10, had to defend his apostleship in this inspired letter to the Church of Christ in Corinth, as those who had rejected Paul's apostleship had also rejected God's word. Well, look at, for example, 2 Corinthians 10:8. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." Well, remember, Jesus gave the apostles their authority. Matthew 18:18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And in chapter 9 of Matthew, chapter 19 rather, verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So the apostles were in authority, which came from the Lord. That's the point. But now let's go to 2 Corinthians 12 and begin with verse 6. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." Now notice Paul's reaction. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. Distress is for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And we'll begin our study of to understand strength, you must know weakness in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. That's right, PFE helps us to remember every day what we should be striving to do. At this time, we want to take the opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we study God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus following John 4:24. "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now, we want to mention, If you're interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set that up at your convenience and sit down together with the Word of God and submit to His will. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can write to us. So that again, that address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we're ready to get into our study this morning. To understand strength, you must know weakness. Now, Paul, you know, he suffered quite a bit for the cause of Christ. You can see this in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, as Paul goes through a number of really disastrous situations, being stoned and beaten, left in the deep, and in perils of robbers, and the care of the churches, all those things. Yes. And you see, this is the time that he, by inspiration, wrote our text that we just read. Now, Paul could have become proud and said, look how great I am. No, that was not his reaction, was it? That wasn't his attitude. But his attitude was, for when I am weak, then I am strong, after God answered Paul's prayer. He answered it, God did, but he said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? We're not told. Some think it may have been poor eyesight, because of Paul saying, you would have plucked out your eyes and given to me, and see how large letters I write, and as he was penning it himself. You see, we don't know for sure, just a possibility on that, but that's not the point, is it? Paul had to live with that thorn in the flesh, but it helped him to see that he needed to depend upon God. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, years ago, this was, in fact, the first funeral I preached. I went to the Methodist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, as one of the members there at the Antioch Church of Christ. Had been taken by helicopter from Halls, Tennessee. And as I was waiting to see the if I could see her, unfortunately she didn't make it, but this is what I read on a sign there at the emergency room door. To understand strength, you must know weakness. And that's the title of our study this morning. And as we begin our study, let's ask this question. What is the world's concept of weakness and strength? Well, it's going to be different than God's, of course, knowledge on this subject. But, you know, if you go back to 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 58, we don't have the time to read all of that, but that was when David, the young shepherd, came to the place of battle with the Israelite soldiers, King Saul at the time, heading up the soldiers, and on the other side were the Philistines. And so their champion was Goliath. And he was quite a warrior, a tower of strength. He was a fearless fighter. He thought he could whip any of the Israelites. That's what he thought. And they were afraid of him. Yes, but David was not. Is there not a cause? He asked. Well, he did not have a muscular, athletic appearance, nor was he experienced veteran of battle, but you see, the world looks at Goliath, this is quite a tower of strength. But here's David. He could not even wear King Saul's armor. He was not strong in the physical sense because he did not trust in himself, but he trusted in God. He had strength beyond physical strength, did he not? Goliath, he's just the opposite. He trusted in himself. He did not trust in God. Look at 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's right, the world sees the outward appearance. That's the judgment of the world. And they may see someone that's a strong Christian as someone that's weak, not realizing that they have true strength. Notice John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So we are to judge, but judge righteous judgment, Jesus said. And look at Romans 2:28-29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. This is talking about a spiritual Jew, of course. Which one is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. That's what's important, is it not? 2 Corinthians 5:12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Do we see the difference? Well, we should. Now, notice, because of pride, many people today, they think they're strong. Look at me. I'm really something. Look what I've done. Well, do you give God the glory? Not if you're all into yourself. Obadiah, a prophet of God, was sent to Edom because of their pride. Obadiah, verses 1 through 4, reveal that. Well, what about Haman? Remember him and Esther? As he thought he was someone great. Boy, the king's going to honor him. He wanted to annihilate the Jews, which would have included the queen, Esther. But remember what happened? He was hung on his own gallows because of his pride. He wanted to hang Mordecai. It didn't work out like he planned, did it? So these are lessons from God's Word. Notice Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Jesus told the proud Jewish religious leaders, Matthew 23, notice verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Yes, Matthew 18:3-4, and Jesus said this, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let us take that in and meditate upon it. Are we humbling ourselves as a little child? Well, we must in order to enter the church of Christ. James 4:6-10, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So let's be sure we're not filled with pride, but have humbled ourselves in the sight of God, submitted to his will, and remained faithful even unto death. Well, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he left heaven to become flesh. Here is the ultimate example of humility, to be born in a stable. You know how it smells in the barn with animals. Well, think about leaving heaven for a stable, having a feed box as your crib. And remember what Jesus did in John 13, as there was no one to wash the feet after they had traveled dusty roads, wearing sandals, reclining to eat. You can imagine the difficulty with someone's feet next to you as you're eating that has not been cleaned. Jesus took it upon himself to do the task of the servant. Yes. What an example of humility. Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. We need to appreciate our Lord and Savior giving us an example, the greatest example of humility. Now let's ask the second question. How are we to be weak? Well, we're not to be spiritually weak, but to grow by feeding upon God's Word as newborn babes desire the milk of the mother. 1 Peter 2:2. Notice 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, obviously, Christians are not to be weak and sickly spiritually. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, those of us who are strong spiritually, we have a responsibility to support the weak, do we not? Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Are we submitting to that? If we would say that we're strong spiritually? Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How true that is. Right? We all are to say, right. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. So, how are we to be weak? We are to be weak in the sense of realizing that we are to depend upon God for our strength. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 5:3. So one cannot receive the truth if they're full of their self, full of oneself. How are you going to be receiving something if you're full, you know, like a glass that's full of water? You can't pour any more in there. It just runs over. Well, if we're full of ourselves, how are we going to receive the Word of God? We cannot. We must empty ourselves, humble ourselves. That's being poor in spirit. And in our text, Paul realized this when God answered his prayer, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul immediately realized, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, he realized by being with this thorn in the flesh, which made him physically weak, he could become stronger spiritually, depending upon God. He needs to understand this, as we all do. And Paul certainly grasped that, did he not? As he went on to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Notice that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And thus he was able to say, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Can we say that as Paul did? Are we taking pleasure in those things Paul mentioned? Let's think about that. Third question. We've discussed how are we to be weak by realizing we need to depend upon God. We're not able to make it on our own. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah 10:23. So now we need to ask, how are we to be strong? As we see, we need to depend on God, of course, in understanding weakness. But we're not talking about being strong in our own thinking or overpowering and stepping on others to advance, as so many in the world do. But like Abraham, this is a great example of a man who was strong in faith. How are we to be strong in our faith? That's not just a belief. No, it's an active faith. Faith with works, not of merit, not of the law of Moses, certainly not of the flesh, but works of what? Righteousness. That's included works. The others are excluded. That's what causes people problems. Notice Romans 4:20. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Well, how else could one explain the fact that Abraham was willing to take the life of Isaac? God said, "Go sacrifice Isaac, thy only son of Sarah." And he rose up early in the morning to do what God said, because he believed the promise of God. Genesis 12:1-3. "Through thy seed all nations shall be blessed." He believed it. Look at Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith. What kind of faith? Belief only? Of course not. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He was ready to take his life. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, by Sarah, yes, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Going back to Genesis 12:1-3. Notice verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So if I take Isaac's life, Abraham is with this belief, if I take my son's life, God's going to raise him up, because he's promised me that through my seed all nations shall be blessed. A great nation's coming forth. That's right. Abraham believed God. And you see, this is so meaningful. If we understand what kind of faith Abraham had, notice with me now James chapter 2. We need to take time to read this, starting with verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Well, we need to ask that question to faith-only teachers and preachers. Grace only. Let's ask them that question. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? We all should know the answer. It does not profit. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Dead faith, if it does not have works of righteousness. We're not talking about works of merit. You could come up with a cure for cancer. That's wonderful. But that doesn't save you from your sins. It doesn't earn the death of Christ on the cross. We're talking about submitting to the will of God, works of righteousness. Unless that doctor obeyed the gospel, he's a lost sinner. Even though he did a great thing for the mankind, coming up with a cure for cancer. See the difference? That's works of merit. So we need to understand we have to do works of righteousness, submitting to the will of God. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That's works of righteousness. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They're believers, but they're certainly not saved. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, no one should miss this. I mean, it's just hammering it home, James, by inspiration is. Was not Abraham, here's our example, was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, God had commanded him, that's a work of righteousness. You see the difference? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That should get our attention. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. If we miss that, we have a problem, because it's just too plain. Another example is given. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead alone. No one should miss it. Notice that we are to be strong by being faithful to God with works of righteousness, an active faith. Watch ye stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, 1 Corinthians 16:13. We are in the body of Christ when we obey the gospel. There is a system of faith, but we are to have our individual faith, of course, and that is an active faith. To be strong, we must be active with our submitting to God's will and remaining faithful, even if it would mean our death. Now, Paul wrote from prison, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's right, Philippians 4:13. Well, our time is gone. Certainly we can do nothing without Christ, John 15:5. If you're not in the Lord's church, we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. We'll study further and see what the Bible says we must do. We thank you so much for listening today.